Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, in our question and answer series, we finished with question 8, and Dr. Bloom was starting to answer question 9. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
On his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
Now we want to go on to the next question. And again, I want to try to answer this in a way that is kind and right, because that's the way we should be in our answers, but never dishonest in our answers. Kind and right, but never dishonest, okay? Now, again, I may answer some of this within the text as well as I've answered her. Or this, yeah, I think this one is a her also. This one says, I was able to listen this morning to your message from Sunday night. And I appreciate that. That means people are listening on live stream or watching us on live stream, or they're listening by their internet just to hear that our services, that although they're live stream, they got the video, they may have just been hearing it. So either way, we're glad they tuned in, because some people, their churches still aren't meeting on Sunday night. A lot of churches quit meeting on Sunday night. And, you know, that's an area where the pastors are going to have to give an answer for that before God. But that's another thing. So let me just go ahead. She already said now that she watched our services on Sunday night. She might have been coming home from work and didn't have time to change to go, and so she watched us. Whatever the situation is, this is where we are. She says, the verse you read where it says, the Antichrist will make war with the saints. Now, again, that's in Revelation chapter 13, so you can go there if you want to read that, Revelation chapter 13. But, war with the saints, does this mean that we will be here that through the beginning part of the tribulation? Because even now, people, lots of people, the whole Catholic Church are looking for an answer in a person, even calling that person Jesus. So what does that part of the verse truly mean? So many Bible versions, no wonder God sends strong delusion. Even our current president shows the signs of that delusion and what delusion looks like. So getting back to that verse, what does it mean? Will we still be here through that? Well, that is a good question, and she signed her name. And again, I don't read these questions given people's names, and a lot of times I don't even give the place where they are. But again, if you go back to Revelation chapter 13, and you want to look at some of these verses, and he says there, and let me just read back there from the chapter. Let me start in verse 1, because this is really the whole thing. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, his great authority. Now, if you remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and that golden image, and each part of that image represented something, and one was his. And the beast he saw was Esau was likened to a leopard. And boy, I tell you what, he had a fast-moving army, Nebuchadnezzar did. And so it's like a leopard, and his feet were as of a bear. That kind of looks at, really, it looks like the Grecian Empire, and really the first one, the feet, that was the Medo-Persian army. They seemed to move really fast and do a great thing. The beast that he saw, if you think of the first as, instead of a leopard, as Babylon, yeah, they were fast, but they were strong, and they were a great army. But then these others come, then the feet of a bear, when you think of the Grecian Empire, and then the mouth as the mouth of iron. Okay, and we look at the Roman Empire. But here's the thing. The dragon gave him his seat and his great authority. It comes from Satan. Do you remember in the book of Matthew, when Satan offers the Lord all these kingdoms, Satan adds something there to it. He shows him all those kingdoms when he takes them up to a mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give those to you if you'll bow down and worship me, for they are mine to give. How were they Satan's to give? Well, what happened is that when Adam fell, see, he was over all the creation. When Satan was able to tempt them and bring them to fall, then Satan gained that power and authority. There are people that thought Hitler was the Antichrist. After that, some thought, well, it's going to be Stalin. And different ones in the ages before that, people wondered if that is going to be the Antichrist. And it's quite possible that Satan had been preparing that person for it. You know why? Nobody knows the day or the hour. So in every generation, Satan tries to prepare a man that will occupy that place that the Antichrist will have. He's called here the beast. And matter of fact, we say Antichrist, as she has mentioned in her letter. But more often, the Bible looks at him as a beast. And so, either way, he's against Christ, and he's instead of Christ. He's Antichrist, okay? And so, in both ways, we see that is speaking of this world leader and these ten horns and his crowns and so forth. Those are kingdoms that have gone behind him and speaks of his power. He opens his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. I don't know how it is, but evidently there's things of heaven that they can see, and they know the people have been raptured. They can't deny that. And they're blaspheming. It's like he's saying down there, okay, I challenge you. If you're so great, you're so good, come down here right now, and I'll take you on one-on-one, okay? And he's blaspheming God and all this other things. Like he could make God act in his time instead of God acting in his own time. And when God acts, he will definitely be in the pit, chained, or in the lake of fire for this Antichrist. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all the kindreds of the earth and tongues and nations. Now, what happens in the tribulation? Find out in 1 Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, excuse me, we find out that we're caught out before the tribulation. We see that also in Revelation. Caught out. We will not go through that hour. If you're saved today, you will not go through that hour. However, in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, we find out there are people that had a chance to be saved. They held the truth in unrighteousness. And because they held the truth in unrighteousness, they had a chance to be saved, they knew they needed to be saved, and they turned against it. After the rapture, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And so, I think that there is something to this, though, with a lady pointing out, you know, you look at the present, he seems delusional at times, and that's a possibility. That some of the same things can happen in that day of people on a worldwide level with all the devils at work with this Antichrist to bring delusion to people. But there's going to be those that will be saved in the tribulation. They didn't hear the gospel. They didn't have a chance to be saved, or they just didn't hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit didn't speak to their hearts. And so there are people that didn't hear the gospel. They didn't have a chance to get saved or whatever. and Christians didn't witness. And so what happens? They're left behind. Some of them get saved, but getting saved in the tribulation hour may mean you lose your head, your life. Can't buy, sell, or trade. So those that do get saved, yes, he will overcome them. The two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 who are witnessing for God, they're able to call fire down from heaven to consume people and to do things to try to turn these people back to God and to righteousness. And they, a lot don't repent. And so when this Antichrist overcomes them, their body lays in the street for 3 days. People rejoicing, they're sending gifts to one another, thinking it's like Christmas that we have. Look what we've got now. Those guys aren't going to call fire down on us. They're not going to keep preaching the word and telling it as it is to men as they are. They're out of the way. And then 3 days later, the voice calls them and they raise up from the dead in front of the world's eyes. I believe that is looking at the internet kind of, you know, on a worldwide basis. Now we can see what's going on in Paris. We can see what's going on in Jerusalem. We can see, but wherever you want to go in the world, you can see it. Because of that medium that is there. And I can remember reading books from people that wrote about that, being all the world being able to see this in Revelation chapter 11. How could everybody see that? They'd say, there'd be representatives from every country there, and they'll see it. And different things were offered up there. It wasn't until after movies and TVs and finally people started seeing the chance to go to that. Remember the first time our president, Nixon, I think it was, went to China. And they had pictures of him in China live on television. And kind of snowy when you looked at it, but nonetheless, as far as the picture was concerned, but it was that. But for a long time, people tried to figure out how God is going to do that. And so they came up with things. And today you hear a lot of people saying about how the computer's going to do it. And yet, I think when things get thrown off kilter, that's going to mess up computers too. So just so many things that just you're looking at that go wrong. But when God says something's going to do it and the way it's going to happen, he's going to do it and that's the way it's going to happen. Whatever God says is always, 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 always true. The Catholic Church are looking for somebody, she said there. And even our people seem to want to look. They're wanting to know something. So she says, will we still be here through that part of tribulation? Now, we're looking through the first half of tribulation, and the answer is no. You're saved now. You're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. You may be saved so as by fire, but you'll be caught up to be with the Lord. And so I want you to be aware of that because I don't want you to have any misgivings or misleadings on that.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation for the Bible. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.